Thank you. Thank you. Three blind mice, three blind mice. You know, the thought of it is something, but the time you took to rehearse that really touches my heart. Very great. Take your Bibles this morning and open to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I'm going to read quite a few verses this morning. Looks like if you're in a Christian college, you could find it by now. If you don't have it, just look wherever you are intelligently at whatever page you are and we'll read it. In the 14th verse, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now that's not talking about the talent of singing or art or writing. It's talking about money. And to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. Our Heavenly Father, there are few things in life that are basic, and this is one of them. This matter of using what we have. And this morning I pray you'd help us as we, just for a few moments, discuss this parable, that it may be life-changing for us. Speak to our hearts and give us a truth that'll make us never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Quite often I'm asked, Brother Howes, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? I think the greatest verse in the Bible is John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I think that verse says more than any verse in the Bible. My favorite verse in the Bible, and the one that I assign, is Daniel 12:3. And they that will eye shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I recall I was down in Joplin, Missouri one day, and I was staying in a motel of the Howard Johnsons, And I ate in the restaurant, and you're supposed to sign your name and your room number, and I signed my name in Daniel 12:3, just by force of habit. And so the head of the restaurant manager came back to my room and said, "What is this, Dan somebody?" And so I got to witness to him. But that's my favorite Bible verse and the one that I signed. The greatest challenge of all the verses in the Bible to me is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I think the verse probably that motivates me more than any other verse in the Bible is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. But the most helpful verse in the Bible to me for these 37, 38 years of preaching is one of the verses we read just a while ago. And this is it. I think if I chose one verse in all the Bible that has helped me more than any other verse over the period of my ministry, in my ministry, would be this verse. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That doesn't seem fair, does it? Look at me now. That doesn't seem fair. When I was your age, the age of any of you in college, that verse got a hold of me. It didn't seem fair. Here's this man taking a journey. He left 5 talents with one of his servants, and he said, "Now I want you to invest it, use it, make some interest on it." He left 2 talents with another, and that 2 talents is a sum of money. I don't know how much it was, whether it was silver or gold, don't know, so it'll be determined by that. But he left 1 talent with another. He came back, and he brought them for judging, and judging will come. And he said, "How'd you do?" The fellow brought 5 talents, came. He said, I invested, I got 5 more. He said, "Good." He said, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. One of the great verses in the Bible right there. God said, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. And if you want to rule someday over many things, you be faithful while you're in school over a few things. God's not going to take you lazy folks and give you a great church someday. You're not going to be something when you graduate you aren't now. You'll be exactly what you are now. And if you want to have some authority someday, you use what you have now. And so he asked the fellow to whom he gave 2 talents to come and give an account. And he said, "I bought 2 more. Ah, he said, by the way, said the same thing to him. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." Same thing, same statement. Some had more, but this fella got twice as much as the first fella did. He got the same commendation and the same reward. And then he called the fellow had the one. And the one fellow had the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I know you're a pretty tough customer and you're a pretty hard cookie." And he said, I just was careful. I was afraid I might lose the 1 talent, so I saved this one. And here it is. I've got it to give back to you." And the master said, "Take it from him." Now, that doesn't sound... That bothered me when I was your age. That bothered me greatly. Take it from him. You know, that doesn't sound fair to this welfare state. You take from the worker and give to the loafer. But God would take from him who just had 1 and give it to him who had 10. But it's true. If you think about it, it makes sense. Let me ask you a question. A fellow came to see me from over in Illinois a year or 2 ago. And he said, "Dr. Hiles, I want you to pray for me to find a Russell Anderson." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well," he said, "I want to find some wealthy man that can help me." He said, pray I'll find a Jack DeCoster or a John Byler." And I said, "Ask a question." I said, if you had $10,000 to invest, would you invest it in your work? Or would you invest it in the First Baptist Church of Hammond?" He said, "Well, I'd invest it in First Baptist Church of Hammond." And I said, "Then maybe you better go home and get your work investable before you try to find a Russell Anderson, John Byler, or Jack DeCoster." You see, God is saying here, he's saying, I'm going to invest it where I can get the best dividend. Now, some of you students are not going to make it through college. And the reason you're not going to make it through college is God's not going to invest a dime in you. Not one dime. You're not worth it. He wouldn't get into dividend. Listen, if you were going to buy some stock in a company, you'd buy stock in a company that was producing. You'd want to make some money on your investment. Any businessman's got any sense. He wants to take what he's got and invest it so it'll make money. Mr. Anderson doesn't say, "Think I'll invest in some stock. Now, here's a company over here having some trouble. Think I'll help it out." No, it doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. I want to tell you something. Of all of the verses in the Bible that have helped me in my ministry, this is perhaps the greatest one. I have run scared for 37, nearly 38 years because I want to keep my little ministry worthy of God's investment in what I'm trying to do. You know, I've been around a while. Maybe you can tell by looking. But I've been around a while. I knew Bob Gray, Dr. Bob Gray, who's a famous preacher now. I knew Dr. Gray when he had 300 folks in Sunday school. Nobody knew him outside his own county. Are you listening? I knew him. Now you say, where'd Dr. Gray get where he is? He got where he is because when he was your age, he invested what he had. And God said, all right, he made me some dividends. I'll invest some more in him. And he took that, and he used that, and invested that in the Lord's work. And the Lord said, okay, I'll invest some more in him. And God keeps on investing, and Bob Gray kept on bringing dividends to God from his investment. And God kept on investing, and Bob Gray kept on bringing dividends, and God kept on investing. But I'll tell you something. God is not a lousy businessman. And God is not an unwise investor. And God is not going to invest in somebody's life that will not bring him dividends. Now, you listen to me. If you're not worthy of God investing in you now, then you'll never have God invest bigger, make bigger investments in you later on. I knew Lee Robertson when he was 43 years of age. Lee Robertson is 75 or so now. I knew him when he was 43. I knew Lee Robertson when he was 15 years younger than I am right now. Now, what's the secret, Lee Robertson? He took what God gave him and he used it. Listen, some of you kids are hanging around this campus while others are out working on bus routes. And some of you, while others are going soul winning, you're barely getting by with the skin of your teeth. And you're going to wonder one of these days when you get out in the field and you can't make your payment on your church building and you can't get enough money to take care of the needs of your church. You're going to wonder one of these days why you lose your building or lose your property. You don't make it. I'll tell you why. Because God is not going to invest in a lazy devil. I'll guarantee you won't do it. Now, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not preaching this morning as Brother Ray Youngwood. I'm trying to get you to get out here and get these buses full. I'm not preaching as one of the folks in the soul-winning ministries would. Get out here and get busy for God. I'm saying, I'm preaching to you for your own good. One of these days, you're going to need God. And one of these days, you're going to need God to invest in you. But you're sitting around here on your blessed assurance, many of you, and doing very little for God right now. And I'll guarantee you, you're going to wonder why you don't get a job one of these days. And you're going to wonder why you can't pay your bill. And you're going to wonder why you don't get a church. Why? Because God is not going to invest in the fella who buries what he has. You know, there are always all kinds of students in a college. We have some in our college, right? Get by the skin of your teeth. If you've got to go soul winning 4 hours, you go 4 hours. Not 4 hours in 1 minute. Not 4 hours in 2 minutes. You go 4 hours. We've got some big liars here that say they went when they went. They didn't go too. But God is keeping a record of that too, by the way. But I mean, some of you fellas, you come here. You've got to spend a year on the buses, and you ought to. You ought to get down to infantry where the work is and where the nitty-gritty is and where the elbow grease is. But as soon as you get through with your year on the buses, boy, you can't wait till you get through so you can loaf the rest of the time. But I want to tell you, God is checking up right now and deciding in whom he's going to invest one of these days.
And one of these days, you're going to stand before God out in the field somewhere as a pastor and our assistant pastor or a principal, and you're going to be out in the field someday, and you're going to be out working for God, and you're going to say, "Dear God, I need some money." And God's going to say, "I can't invest in you. You didn't bring me any dividends while you were in college. I invested in your tuition. I didn't get any dividends out of it. You just got by with the skin of your teeth. You just barely walked by. You barely skimmed by. You just were saved so as by fire. I mean, you didn't do anything more than what you had to." I would hate to think under God that all I did as a child of God or as a preacher of the gospel or as a pastor of a church or as a student in a college, I'd hate to think that all that I did was what I had to do. Now, you listen to me. If you want to go hungry the rest of your life, go ahead. It's up to you. If you want your building program to flop and fizzle, go ahead. It's up to you. If you want your church budget to not be, go ahead. It's up to you. But I'm giving you the advice of your lifetime today. For these 38 years almost of pastoring, I have worked my hand to bone. I've gotten up early. I've stayed up late. And I've worked by day and I've worked by night. And the main reason I've done it is I want God to think of me as being worthy of investment. I knew Ray Bademo. When Ray Bademo was a teenage boy up here in Holland, Michigan. 17 years old, used to drive down from Holland, Michigan on Sunday night. Be in the First Baptist Church services because he wanted to hear me preach years ago. I knew him then. I saw him take a little church out in Southern California with 100 people. And I saw him give all he had. And God said, "Okay, I'll give him some more." And he took that and invested that and gave all he had. And God said, "Okay, I'll give him some more." He took that, invested that, gave it all he had. And God said, "I'll give him some more." But I want to tell you something today. Far more than your talent or your marvelous oratorical ability, or far more than your ability to stand up and sing, or your marvelous winsome personality, or your handsome physique, or your lovely figure, far more than that, God is concerned, how hard do you work? How much of it you give? How much investment do you bring? How much dividend does it get from you? You better listen to me now. Listen, I want to tell you something, folks. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. Our student, I got just this week, opened my letter, my mail. I got an ordination paper sent back, Mississippi. No reason, no letter, no note, just mail back. You know what it meant. Guy wanted to give up, wanted to quit, couldn't make it. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. There's no Hiles Anderson College Chapel out there on the field. And there's no utopia like we have here out there on the field. I mean, brother, it's just old nitty-gritty. And I'll guarantee you, time after time after time, you're going to get out on the field and your face is going to be against the wall. And you're not going to know what to do. And you're not going to have Brother Hiles to trot to his office after a service. Or Dr. Evans to talk to, or Dr. Jorgensen, or the faculty. Or no chapel to come to and hear a man of God preach to you. And it's going to be you and God and your problems. And I'll guarantee you, out yonder, it's a jungle. And brother, if you do not give it what you've got, and listen, you've got 4 years or so here to prove God to God that you're worthy of investment. You lazy hound dogs, you sorry scoundrels, you good-for-nothing blessed assurancers, you sorry oversleepers, you're not going to, listen, I'll guarantee you, better hear me now, one of these days you're going to need God's help, and you're going to beg God's help, and God's going to say, "I can't invest in you, where are my dividends?" I knew Dr. Gary Coleman when he was a teenage preacher. I knew him when a church called in the pastor, called seven other men, had seven other men to preach, and he was in his teens, and the church called him to pastor. And he stood up and asked the church publicly. He said, "Look, what was it you saw in me that caused you to choose me over the seven other preachers?" And the deacon said, "Because your wife's the only one who could play the piano." I knew him when the only hope he had for a church with his wife was his wife's music ability. And God gave him a little bit. And he invested it. And God said he brought some dividends. And God gave him some more. And he invested it. And God said he brought some dividends, and God gave him some more, and he invested it. And that's the way he's built a great church. It's not because he can preach. It's not because he has the ability to teach. It's because that which God has given to him, he took it and invested and brought back dividends. And God said, okay, I'll give him some more. I'll invest some more. Oh, you say, you lucky dog, you. No, you sweating dog, you. You working dog, you. You lucky stiff. No, you working stiff. Boy, you get all the breaks. Yeah, everybody that works gets all the breaks. You sorry, good-for-nothing, lazy scoundrel, you. You reproach to your mother. You reproach to your daddy. You reproach to your church back home. You reproach to your pastor. You reproach to your God. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, our thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my love, my life, my all. And one day, you mark it down, and you'll remember it. You'll be out in the field, and you'll be against the wall, and you won't know which way to turn. And God's going to turn his back on you and say, buddy, I wouldn't invest a dime in you. You didn't work while you were in college. You did all little as you could to get by. You got by the skin of your teeth. Let me tell you something, brother. God in heaven is real, and God is a person, and God is intelligent, and God's got more sense than you have, and you wouldn't invest in a lazy devil, and God's not going to either. Now listen to me. I knew Lester Roloff when he was a kid preacher. I knew Brother Lester when he and I both were just young preachers, when he wasn't known outside Corpus Christi, Texas. You say, how did he get where he was? Homespun humor. Fooey on that. You try your homespun humor and see how much you can spend. How did he get where he was? He's not like Will Rogers. Fooey on that. He got where he was because back then when nobody knew him but his mama. God invested a few pennies in him, and he brought back some dividends and gave them to God. And God invested a few dollars in him, and he brought back some dividends and gave them to God. And God invested a few $100 in him, and he brought back some hundreds of dollars of dividends and gave them to God. And God invested some thousands of dollars in him, and he brought back some thousands of dollars in dividends and gave them to God. And God invested some millions of dollars in him, and he brought back millions of dollars in dividends and gave them to God. He stayed investable. See, when you want to copy a preacher, you want to copy the way he preaches. You want to do this like John Rice or clear your throat like Jack Hiles. Why don't you try working like both of us do and did? Won't you try staying awake while others sleep? Won't you try realizing a world is lost without God and dying and going to hell? Why don't you realize a country is perishing? But hey, this country is as much yours as it is mine. And by the way, it is more yours than it is mine. I don't have it for many more years. You've got it for a lifetime. Looks like to me you ought to be as concerned about it as I am. Well, now you say, Brother House, what in the world is my little old bus route going to do to save this country? It's going to put God in a good enough humor to invest in you so someday he'll invest big in you so he can use you to save this country. God's not going to invest in you unless you're worthy of it. I knew Bill Pennell. And Bill Pennell was pastor of a little church down in Tennessee. Used to come down to Greenville, South Carolina to sword conferences where Dr. John Rice and I were preaching as a young man, just a young man in his 20s. And God got a hold of his heart, and he had on his face there one time in Greenville, South Carolina. God did a miracle in his life. And Bill Pennell took what God gave him and invested it. And took what God gave him and invested it. And took what God gave him and invested it. And took what God gave him and invested it. You know, if our young lady in Howes Anderson College, I wouldn't even date a guy because he's good looking. I wouldn't. I think it's the silliest thing. He's so cute. Oh, pfft. They all look alike when they're 45. Oh, he's so cute. She is a doll. Woo, boy. She is pretty. You can't eat beauty. I'll tell you what, over burned toast, she won't look as pretty. And when you're trying to see through that jungle, she calls a house, she won't be as cute. Some of you guys ought to bypass these little first-line beauty queens and get back to second row. Get some of these little gals that are attractive, but they're not interested in... If the rain falls on their hair, it's not the Great Tribulation period. If they cry at church, it's not mud balls by the time the tear gets down to the chin. Get back in that little second echelon. You get some little gal that's scrubbing the floors over here in the dining hall. Now, I'm not saying everybody that doesn't scrub floors in the dining hall shouldn't have a husband. But I'm saying this, if your mom and dad pay your bill, young lady, and you don't have to work, then that means you ought to go soul winning twice as much. You ought to be busy for God twice as much. You ought to study twice as much and prep half as much. It's not doing you much good anyhow. Now you listen to me. And some of you gals, I mean, you know, you can't eat a bulging bicep. And they don't look real pretty anyway when there's no money brought home. And the poor guy won't get a job if he gets it. He won't keep it. He hasn't got any character. I'm simply saying this. I'm saying you ought to find somebody that is working and somebody that has industry and somebody that has character and somebody that has tenacity and somebody that has sacrifice. That's the kind God's looking for. If I were you, I'd look for the same kind God's looking for. What are you saying amen for? Nobody's looking for you. I knew Curtis Hudson, but nobody knew him. I knew Wally Beebe, and he had a little church down here with a handful of people in Kankakee, Illinois. You see, I've been around a while. The fellows that you count the giants for God in America, I knew them when they're the age you are. And I know what made them tick. Not talent. Not physique, not glamour, not dynamics, not humor, not personality, but working so God will say, that fella brings some dividends, I'll invest in him. There came to our church years ago, and this is not an old, new story to many of you. I came to our church years ago, a couple to visit. He and his wife sat over on my left under the balcony in the old building that burned. After the service, he said to his wife, I don't like that preacher. He's too loud and too long. Can you imagine such an unjust appraisal? They came back the next Sunday to my shock. To my complete amazement, they walked the aisle and professed faith in Christ. To my utter shock, they both got baptized. After the service, I said, sir, I said, I want to apologize to you. I heard that you said last Sunday you didn't like my preaching, and I know now it was rumor. I believed it. I shouldn't believe it. I want you to forgive me. He said it wasn't rumor. I didn't like your preaching, still don't. Well, I said, pray tell me, why did you come back and get saved and get baptized? He said, I came back, got saved, baptized because of the three words you said last Sunday morning. You took my hand and looked at me and said, I love you. And he said, nobody but my wife had ever said I love you in my life as far as I know. He said, my mama, my daddy, nobody had ever said I love you. And you said three words that nobody ever said to me, my wife, I love you. I did not come back because of your preaching. I came back because of your love. That morning, C.W. Fisk became a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. We had to have a custodian. I called C.W.N. and I said, Doc, why don't you be a custodian for us? He said, I'd love to do it. We never had a better custodian than C.W. Fisk. He never walked up and said, boy, I think this is too menial. No, sir. No task was too small. We never had a better custodian. than Fisk. Now, we had a lot of custodians in our church that couldn't wait to get out of the job and find that they were really were, when the world finds out who they really are. But C.W. said, I'll be the best custodian I can. One day I went to him and I said, hey, Doc, won't you be a custodian in the morning and go soul winning for me every afternoon? Okay. He became the best soul winner we had. He brought two or three folks down the aisle every Sunday. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about people living in town. He brought them down the aisle every Sunday. One day I went to him and I said, Doc, put your broom down. You took it to a soul winner. I hired him just to be a soul winner full time. One day I said, Doc, I'd like to have you as assistant pastor. And one day he'd done that. So I said, I'll make you my associate pastor. And now he's pastor of a church in Ohio, Mansfield, Ohio. Why? God put a broom in his hand and a mop in his hand, and he brought back some dividends. And God put a testament in his hand, and he brought back some dividends. And God put a bus ministry in his hand, and he brought back some dividends. And God put the assistant pastorship in his hand, and he brought back some dividends. Whatever God has given you, use it. Use it, use it, use it, use it, use it. And God will see you bringing back dividends, and God will invest some more in you. It's up to you. Go ahead. You little lovesick, moonstruck, bilious-looking parasite. I'm not against romance. I'm not against dating. But I'm against standing in that hallway 3 or 4 hours and looking at each other like you just got milked. There's some books to read. There's some souls to win. There's some routes to fill up. There's some studies. There's some library reading to do. Idleness is the curse of this age. Idleness is the conceiver of melancholy. Idleness is the duller of the mind. The mother of mischief, the robber of the soul. The pillow where failure sleeps. The embryo of evil thoughts. The fertilizer of mental thistles and moral thorns. The inventor of excuses. The companion of the useless. And the father of failure. Idleness never climbed a hill, never built an empire, felled a tree, won a battle, built a great church, built an empire, or saved a nation. Southey said, the scarecrow is more useful than the idle man. Louis XIV said, it is by toil that kings govern. Voltaire's motto was, always at work. Napoleon, when he met working men with working clothes, he always would stop and salute and bow low. Sir Walter Scott's motto was, never to be doing nothing. Look at me. There's no way in the world that you can figure me out apart from this text right here. When I pastored 19 people, this verse came in my mind. And I said, dear God, I've got to stay investable. And I gave it my best. And God gave me a little church out the edge of town called Grange Hall Baptist Church. 39 people showed up the first Sunday, and I said, dear God, I'm afraid you won't keep investing in me. I've got to give it my best. I brought back God some dividends, and I went to the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas, just inside the city limits. And I gave it what I had, and God said, I'll invest some more. And I went to the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, and gave it what I had. And now as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, you say you lucky stiff. If somebody gave me $1 million to build Dining Hall, I'd preach like that too. I didn't have $1 million when I was your age, nor did I have 10. But what few pennies God put in my hand, I used them. And I brought him back some investment. And God didn't say, you bring me back 10 talents. He said, you just bring me back some. We got a lot of men in this room. I use the word men loosely. Charles Atlas is of the campus. Body beautiful. Spend more time primping than the women do. Man combs his hair more than 30 seconds, he's not right with God. Shave. Do what you can with your hair. Brush your teeth. Go to work. You think you're going to make it because you're pretty. Now, you're going to want to out John in a field one of these days. You know, I never have seen a deacon looking for a pretty preacher. I never heard a deacon say, "Pastor, I'm for you, boy. I'm not going to cause you in trouble because you are so pretty." If one ever does, I'm going to be wary of him. Home, right before she fell, there were 176 legal holidays. Aristotle wrote in his Politics, "The Spartans remained secure as long as they were at war. They collapsed as soon as they acquired an empire, were ruined by the leisure that peace brought." Benjamin Franklin said, "Many a man thinks he's buying pleasure when he is selling himself to it." I have 1,440 minutes a day, that's the same Mount Billy Sunday had. I avoid time wasters. I avoid what's called fellowship. I avoid getting up late. I avoid holidays too much. I avoid an undisciplined life. I avoid luxury. I will not live in luxury. I could live in luxury. I will not. No, sir. No, sir. I won't live in luxury. I stay in motel rooms every week of my life, and I can is sign the ticket. I can order a steak every night and every day at noon, and a breakfast steak if I wanted to, and preachers where I go would love to give me the best. I don't do it. Monday night for supper, I had a cheese quarter pounder. Yesterday for lunch, I had a vegetable plate, no meat at all, vegetable plate, green beans, slaw, mashed potatoes. Yesterday, I don't go to fancy restaurants. I don't like to go to them. I don't live in luxury. I won't live in luxury. Don't want to.
What are you saying? I'm saying that if you really want to be used of God Almighty, you've got to take what you've got and work and work and work and bring it to God, and God will say, "Whoopee, I'd like to put some more money there.
I'd like to invest some of it more in Him." It's an old story, and you've heard it and you've told it. But you remember the story about the little bugler boy that Napoleon told to blow a retreat because they were losing the first battle they'd ever lost. The little bugler boy looked at Napoleon and said, "Sir, I don't know how to blow a retreat. You never taught me one." He said, "I said, blow a retreat. If we don't retreat, we're going to lose the battle. We've got to regroup. Blow a retreat." "The boy said, I don't know retreat. Don't know how. You never taught me how to blow one." He said, "Blow it anyhow." You know the story. He tried to blow a retreat, and tried the way he tried. He couldn't. He blew a charge. The enemy forces said, "Good night. That kid blew a charge. They must have some fresh forces. Let's pull back." Napoleon's men said, "Good night. We must have some new men behind us. Our bugler blew a charge." And they charged, and the enemy retreat, all because a little bugler boy never learned how to blow a retreat. Amen. Satan has oftentimes said to me, "Give up!" But my mama never taught me how to give up. He's oftentimes said, "Take some time to rest." My mama never taught me that. A little gal whose body I went by to see just a few minutes ago, and that little gal that we laid over there in that little hole in the wall in the mausoleum last Monday, she never taught me how to be lazy. She never taught me how to be shiftless. Thank God she didn't teach me how to be some like some of you lazy rascals here in this room. Thank God she said to me, "You've got as much chance as anybody. The same number of hours in a day. The same number of minutes in an hour. Same number of seconds in a minute. By God's grace, until these lips are stilled in death, until these eyes can no longer see, and these feet can no longer walk, and these hands can no longer move, and these ears can no longer hear, I want to keep my God interested enough in me and convinced that if He gives me something, I'll use it right. And I'll invest it, and I'll bring back at the great judgment seat, I'll bring back investments, and I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful a few things, I'll make you rule of many." It's time some of you folks decided to get the same philosophy and get off your lazy blessed assurance and get usable so God in heaven can invest in you to bring forth more fruit. So he can invest in you to bring forth more fruit. So he can say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Well, I think we better go do some work. You may be seated. I'd like for the following...